myself when I would when
yeah,
we
I couldn't either.
I couldn't either, but it's okay.
It's less scary because like when there's
terrified.
No one here, if you like make a noise in the microphone, you can hear it. But when there's people here singing, you make if you accidentally sing, no one hears it.
I mean, they hear Kristen, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
She's like louder than all of us. Both of us combined, she's probably loud. Is it on?
Mm-hmm.
What song are we starting with?
God is for us.
You know what song we're starting
yeah.
with?
God is for us.
Okay. And we're only in on the choruses?
Choruses and bridge, right?
I don't want to do this.
If it starts squeaking, he's going to mute us anyway, so we might be muted.
Really? Oh. If we sound bad, will he mute us?
No.
He's just getting embarrassed. Where is she?
I'm trying to get here.
I was going to say, we need the voice.
What? It's like slow. I say we end on a good song.
Half the time what you practice is like how it goes. Like the song is gonna be like so much faster. It can
yeah.
Be
oh. Lainey always... said that they she said that you can't even like hear us over the like
no. You gotta really, really felt it.
We won't fear the battle, we won't fear the night. We will walk the valley with you by our side. You will go before us, you will lead the way. We have found a refuge, only you can save. Sing with joy now, our God is for us. The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now. No love is greater. Who can stand against us if our God is for us? Even when I stumble, even when I fall, even when I turn back, still your love is sure. You will not abandon, you will not forsake. You will cheer me onward with never-ending grace. Sing with joy now, our God is for us. The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now, no love is greater. Who can stand against us if our God is for us? Neither height nor depth can separate us. Hell and death will not defeat us. He who gave his son to free us holds me in his love. Neither height nor depth can separate us. Hell and death will not defeat us. He who gave his son to free holds me in his love. Sing with joy now, our God is for us. The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now, no love is greater. Who can stand against us if our God is for us? Sing with joy now, our God is for us. The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now. No love is greater. Who can stand if our God is for us.
All right, hey, good morning, Christ Church. It's good to see you this morning. We got a few exciting things about today. Let's think. What are those things? My name is Pastor Wes. If you're new with us today, we welcome you here to Christ Church in the name of Jesus. And today is a special day because we have three baptisms at the end of our service today. So that's exciting. The Bailey girls are going to be baptized at the end of service, and we are excited to welcome them in that way. And we also are welcoming back Pastor Ryan and the Klotzel family back from a much-deserved Sabbath time, and so it's exciting. And we welcome back, oh, also our drummer, Ryan, back.
Yay.
Yep. Didn't happen. Yeah, it didn't happen. Just my right foot is all. Yeah. Well, let's hear a call to worship this morning from Psalm 11. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. In the Lord I take refuge. The Lord tests the righteous, for the Lord is righteous. Behold his face. Let's continue to worship as we read from the catechism here. A question this week is, what is idolatry? Idolatry is trusting in created things rather than the Creator for our hope and happiness, significance and security. For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless, and their senseless hearts were darkened. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served what has been created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. It's yours. It's yours. All yours. All yours. The kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. It's yours. it's yours, all yours, all yours. The kingdom, the power, the glory are yours. It's yours, it's yours, all yours. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Amen. So when we're selecting songs for the week, often there will be a particular message that has a particular bent to it, and so I'll try to select songs that that fit that. And often we'll just have a normal kind of rotation of songs that are regular for us. And I'll find that trying too hard to like fit the songs to what I think the message is going to be in talking to Ryan, that often in the ones that weren't supposed to have any particular push to them, that they actually connect with what's going on that day and such. And so we had the hymn, The Solid Rock, on today. And this week, Scott asked, he's like, the girls are getting baptized today, and they really love and have been connecting with the hymn, The Solid Rock, lately. And was wondering if after the baptism, like usually we sing a hymn a cappella as they're leaving the baptismal waters, could we sing The Solid Rock? And I was like, it'll be very easy because it's already on the schedule and we're already going to have sung it. So sometimes the Lord just, you know, sets those things up and gives us a little wink like that. So my hope is built on nothing less. Let's sing this together this morning. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. the ground is sinking sand.
Heavenly Father, we love you so much. Thank you. Thank you for miracles. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for joy and peace and sometimes suffering, God. We love you in the midst of all of it, and we thank you for your blessings. God, please posture our hearts in a way where we are willing to learn from you, and to hear your word and to hear your voice. And please just help us to be thankful for you and all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to be talking about a portion of the Lord's Prayer this morning, so that song was topical as well. The line, "Your will be done." I learned the Lord's Prayer at an early age, and I've recited it probably hundreds of times in my life, and most of the time it was kind of like saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I didn't really think much about the words, just it's something we said. But lately I was thinking about aspects of it and the phrase, "Thy will be done," and if I incorporate that into my prayer life in general. There's been some just devastating prayer requests coming up this summer, and I find myself praying to God and saying, "God, you can make these things right. We see injustice. And we cry out and say, this isn't fair, God." And I don't always want to say, "Thy will be done." I want to say, "My will be done. You could fix it. God, fix it." I want to read from Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Verse 6 in this passage, especially, "though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." This verse was always kind of a puzzle to me. As I was thinking about it this week, it kind of hit me that this is similar to Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve are being tempted, and the serpent says, "You can be like God and know right from wrong." I think an aspect of the sin in the garden that extends to each of us today is we want to be like God. We want to be the person who determines what's right and wrong. We see things going on in the world and we say, "This isn't fair, God. It's unjust. Jesus had every right to say, God, I don't want to die for these wicked people. Especially if they're going to mock me and spit on me, torture me beforehand. And yet he said, thy will be done. Let's pray. Father God, we're so grateful to you for your Son and what he did for us, and that he did not take his rights of equality with you, but rather humbled himself and was willing to die for us. We just pray these things in his name. Amen. I've been reading this book this summer called God and Money, and it's centered around this statement of we should ask God not how much we should give, but how much should we keep for ourselves of all the things he's given to us. It's a very challenging concept, but let's go ahead and give thanks for our offering. Father God, we just ask that you would bless our gifts this morning. Please just help us to give with cheerful hearts, and please just use this to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
morning, church.
Good morning.
Good. Is this on? We got a new mic for me to use, and I think you all know how well I do with change. So there's a few times when I've meant this as much. I don't know if I've ever meant it more. It is good to be with you this morning. Missed you guys. It's good to be with you. Yeah, a little unfair. I tried to avoid you, but that was a joke. One of the few things that over the next couple weeks I'll probably talk a little bit more about that I got to see in visiting a couple of other churches as they began with prayers of supplication to the Lord. And as Andrew has already pointed out, there was many things through the summer that we can be praying about as a church family. And so I want to maybe start a pattern of praying for various things and people that are happening in this church and around us. And so I'll share just a few of them. One request and continued prayer and one praise, right? We pray for we praise the Lord for the Bailey girls, for all of their confessions of faith, their walks, already walking with the Lord, and now their confession and their public display of their belief in Christ as their Savior. We're very excited about that, and we look forward to that at the end of our service. And we also continue to pray for Jeff Beery and the family and everything that's going on. He's got some different various appointments that are going on this week. So we continue to pray for him, pray for his recovery and healing, and then getting into treatment and that kind of stuff. So let me begin our time with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence with us. We know, Lord, that when we come into you, we come to you in prayer, that you're there, you hear us. We come with humility, and we come with joy, and we come with sorrow, and we come with everything in between, Lord. And we lift up, again, we lift up the Beery family. We pray specifically for Jeff, that he would heal well, so that he could begin his long process of treatments and the various different questions that still need to be answered. We pray that you would give the doctors wisdom and understanding, that you would work miraculous ways that would be only you that could receive the credit. We thank you for the Baileys, for the whole family, Lord, but particularly the girls, as they bring their faith in you to this public place, that they would come and be united with each of us who call on you as Savior in baptism, that confession, that baptism would be representative of what we already see happening in their lives. Lord, as we turn to your word this morning, I pray that your word would go forth, not just from Ryan's lips, but into the hearts of the working of the Spirit. I thank you and I praise you for this body of believers that I and we can call our own church family. We just thank you. We praise you for the privilege that it is to gather together, to sing praises to your name, to gather around your word, to be taught and molded and shaped together. We just pray this in our precious and holy Savior Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to, for us, a familiar, at least first verse. I have one here sort of cheekily, verse 43, Acts chapter 2, verse 43 is our starting verse. We're actually starting in Acts chapter 43, or chapter 2, verse 42, which for many of you who have been coming here for any length of time, you know that this is a particular favorite verse of mine. We use this verse as a sort of test to what we're doing here at Christ Church. We press this idea. There are so many ideas and concepts. I read and listened a fair amount while on sabbatical, and I tried to avoid books about how to do church, but inevitably I got to those books. And there is an endless amount of advice and thoughts from pastors and people that probably shouldn't be writing books about being, how to lead a church and operate a church. But there's endless things, but why not go to the scriptures? And so this is the verse that we often come to. You'll find it on our website. It's one of my favorites. But today, we're actually going to continue on in the thought that Luke has in verses 43 to 47, and that's the principal place that we're going to be, but we can't be that close to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and not read it. So let me read, and then I'm going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to come back to the passage, okay? I promise you we'll come back to the passage. Verse 42, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Father, again, we invite your Spirit to come into this place to teach, exhort, strengthen, and encourage us. We pray this now in our Savior Jesus' name. Amen. So I think probably more than I would tend to like to, I'm going to talk a little bit about my time away, my sabbatical, talk about some of the stuff that happened and why I wanted to come back to this particular verse that we're going to be in today, that we're looking at today. I promise that I won't spend a ton of time talking about this after today. Next week, we'll jump into a series going through a book of the Bible. I've narrowed it down to two, and I'm still battling myself in which one I'm going to pick, so I won't tell you what we're battling between. But nonetheless, sabbatical was a very good for me, very good for my family. I think my family would concur with that. It was a time of rest that I think I didn't actually realize how much I needed or wanted. But as things got going, as we got into it, Missy and I, we started our time away for our 15-year anniversary. We went down to Virginia, and it was just the two of us. It was very nice. It was very a wonderful time to be just by ourselves. We've done a couple trips over the years, just the two of us, but they're usually like one or two nights at most. We were there for like a week by ourselves, a little less than a week. And then spent the rest of the summer just having a joyful time with my family, spending time with my kids, spending time with Missy. Missy actually said, and maybe she doesn't want me to admit this to all of you, that she was not ready for me to leave. She wasn't like, get out of this house. Even though when discipleship hour started, she told me to go to a different group. I think she loves me. That's a joke. But there is this reality of, you know how sometimes whenever you're doing something, particularly when you're doing something outside and you're out of shape, kind of like me, and you're going and you're kind of working really hard and you say, or you've heard somebody say, if I sit down, then I'm done, right? And that's this realization that when I have this amount of energy, right? This is how much energy I have to expend, and I'm working outside, and it's hot, and I don't like the heat, and it's going. I'm up here, but I'm still working, and as long as I'm still working, I'm fine. As long as I'm still moving, I think I can handle it. But the second you sit down, you're like, oh, man, and it just weight lands upon you, and you're like, okay, I was more tired than I realized that I was tired. That's what happened in the first couple weeks. The sense of exhaustion sort of waved over me, flushed over me, and I realized that at that moment, okay, I need this break, I need this time away. I sent a letter out to all of you, or most of you at the beginning before the sabbatical started, and I said the three things that I'm after rest, I'm after investment, and I'm after renewal, right? Rest, invest, and renew. Those are the three. I'm not a three-point person, but I did it for that letter, right? And the invest part was my classes with Moody, and I'll continue those classes at maybe a little slower pace, but and they ended about halfway through, and as I was going through those classes, they were very good, they were nice. There were heart classes, right? One was about being a pastor and kind of the labors of being a pastor. One was just being, spiritual disciplines, prayer and reading the Bible and that kind of stuff. So it wasn't like this is new information. It wasn't like we're going to teach you about systematic theology, or I'm going to teach you about this. It was all about just tending to the heart And I was going through those classes. I was like, this is good, but it's not, but I'm not like, blah, you're right? Like, I don't know if you don't understand what I'm trying to say by blah. But that's kind of what I felt as I was going through these classes. I was just kind of like, it's there. I'm doing this. And I got done with those classes, again, about that halfway mark. And I was thinking to myself, what in the world am I doing this for? And I really had this sort of week at the conclusion of those classes where in my head, and I don't think that I really talked about it. Missy maybe can say that I did, but I don't think I really talked about it, where I just sort of was weary or I don't know what the word is, just tired of not really feeling like anything was happening. And I really was sort of down about it, going, I'm supposed to be like really, there's supposed to be stuff like fireworks are supposed to be happening. I'm on break. I'm on sabbatical. I'm supposed to be being changed and transformed and all of this, these goals. I'm supposed to get done with these things. I had a professor at college at Malone who was wrote tons and tons. And I have a couple of his textbooks on my shelf in my office. And he took a sabbatical, a semester off, and he wrote 3 books from start to finish, right? Like, that was what his, like, he was doing it to do that. And that was never the thought, but in the back of your mind, there's just this, like, oh, I feel like I shouldn't be tired anymore. It's been 5 weeks of break. And so the other thing, and I'm going to be all over the place, so I don't apologize. I'm going to be all over the place. It's 9 weeks of pent-up preaching energy, so I said in the letter that I wanted to try, so I was going down to my dad's cabin for a couple days at the beginning and a couple days at the end, and the goal was read the Old Testament the first time and the New Testament the second time. It did not happen because it's a lot to read in just a couple days, but I did actually read the whole Bible while I was gone. I finished on Monday, but we're not going to count that extra day. But I read through the Message translation, which I've actually never done before. I've read passages of the Message, but I've never read the Message translation. I think that was a good change of pace, and I would encourage you. It's a good translation. It shouldn't be the only translation, but it's a good translation. And I read through it, and there was just a couple things about it. Just the tone or the heart attitude was different, and the tenderness perhaps that we feel from the Lord. And there was a couple days where this kind of weight was pressing upon me, and I felt the Lord sort of speak to me through the word that the point of sabbatical is not to accomplish a goal. The point of rest, the point of taking a day off a week is not to accomplish, it's not to rest up so that you can be energized for, it is simply and plainly to be content in the presence of God. And it wasn't like a light bulb moment where I was like, oh, now I'm better, I'm ready to go back to work. It's not what happened. But that started to sort of tend to my heart. And I found myself sort of released from this tension of everything. I'm reading this and I got to learn something from it. And I'm reading and I'm not learning anything from it. And then it was like an outpouring. And I read almost embarrassingly. And the Lord started to speak. And I'm not going to share everything that the Lord spoke, either today or for some of the things at any point. Those were for me. But there was starting to be this maybe cultivation. His heart was being tended to by just simply being with God. Missy and I, or I did, and then the kids went for most of them. We went to 8 churches over the 9 Sundays. So we missed 1 Sunday and just for various reasons. But 2 of those weeks, I went by myself. We were down in Florida that first Sunday that I was off, and I went to a church. And it was great, right? Similar size. That's maybe a little bit bigger, maybe 150-ish, 200 people. But it was their first Sunday in a new building. And they were pumped, right? They were so excited, and they were ready to go. They were singing loud. I was like, oh, man, this is good. But there was just something, right? It was that feeling, and that's what I first chalked it up to, that feeling of, I don't know, just weariness. It was nice, but that was all it was. It was just nice. Then we had Father's Day, and we went to where to my parents' church and sat with my dad, and I don't get to sit with dad very often, so that was nice to get to sit with dad here and hearing some friends preach. Then we went to two more churches in the area of people that we know, and we went there to hear them preach, and both of them didn't preach that week, which was fun. But both of them had baptisms the Sundays that we were there. They were special, right? I think in 2 weeks, five people got baptized. And it was good, and there was singing, and it was nice. But that's really all it was. And again, at this point, I'm kind of looking at things, and I'm going, is it just because I'm tired? I'm weary, right? Like, and there was a sense in me where I was going, we're going to church because I think that being at church is important. To teach my children that even when I'm on a break and I'm not Pastor Ryan, that we go to church because being with the body of believers is important and it's filling and tends to our spirit and our nature. But I just felt off. And that midway point started to hit, and I started to really start to think about things, and the presence of God started to really feel enough. But there wasn't a light bulb. There wasn't a moment where I was like, all right, that was it. That was what I needed to hear. That was what I needed to see. That was what I needed to whatever. Went a couple more weeks, so now we're at like the 6-7 week mark of the 9, and I'm starting to feel better. Feel like I'm no longer like way down here with my energy level. I'm starting to kind of build energy back and feeling good and reading and being fed by what I was reading, not just reading and going, okay, I read that book, now what? And we went to another church, an area church, Crossroads. There's no reason for me not to tell you where I went. And they began their service with prayers of supplication. They prayed for Jeff. And I was like, oh man, the body of believers is just so much bigger. And it was nice and it was wonderful but there was just something off, even still, and I'm feeling better, but it's still. And I don't know. And I really started to pray, Lord, what's up? What's going on? What am I not seeing? What am I not understanding? And all the while, the Lord is just ever subtly just going, hey, here's a thing that you know, but you're not practicing. You're not practicing prayer first. You ever get into a season where you're the disciples in the boat. The disciples are in the boat and they're going across, and Jesus is sleeping. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat. We went the last week with the Gerbers. We went to Norris Lake and we were on a boat, and it's a little boat. And there's no waves. There's just wakes, right? Wakes are what other boats cause. And whenever you're standing on a boat and it's still, and you hit those wakes and you do this, you know, you're like, oh. And I'm fairly confident on a boat. We've boated a lot as children and growing up or whatever. Like, I'm pretty comfortable on the water. But there is still this sense of, wow, that kind of makes you a little nauseous. Now, the Mediterranean Sea, which is likely where, the Sea of Galilee, which is likely where the disciples are, has this geographical feature. When a storm comes in, it's violent. It's not just a little, it's what we saw last night with big honking waves, and you're out in the middle of nowhere, and it's crazy stuff going around, right? And this often happens to us where life just gets crazy, and you're like, what? I can't see to my right or my left. I don't know what's going on. And what do the disciples do? They panic. What do? We panic. What did I do? Panicked. And I started in my own strength, taking the things out of the boat and throwing them in and going around. And then finally, last ditch effort, Jesus, would you wake up? Please? Where are you? How can you be sleeping at a time like this? Don't you care if we die? And the Lord does something. Jesus does something that I think for most of us surprises us. He scolds the disciples. In this moment of great fear and panic, Jesus goes, "Oh, you of little faith." And you're like, why? That's kind of a mean thing to do, Jesus. Again, I was reading the Message translation. I think the Message has a good way of rendering this. The compassion, even though Jesus is scolding the disciples, there's still this compassion in the voice. Well, you have little faith. What are you afraid of? It's as if Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter the storms of life. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. My plan will, in fact, work. And Jesus' plan was not to die on the Sea of Galilee in a storm. And he goes, be still. Have you ever been terrified at the presence of God in your life when you finally look and see him? I think that was the click that I needed. Perhaps there was still a little tension, and we were going to these different churches, and again, I'm just like, oh man, what's happening? Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Okay. And we'll be quick through this. We don't have a ton of time to go through. We could take a lot more time, but we're going to go quickly through this. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. And we can take this and we can do two things with it. I think probably more, but we can do at least two things with this. First, we can read through the apostles and we can go, okay, it's over, it's done. The apostles were doing the signs and the wonders. We can be cessationist. That's a fancy theological word. We can be cessationist. God doesn't do those signs and wonders anymore. And we can kind of, and that was special for them and the early church. But now we're just kind of going through life. Perhaps you're gaining that I don't necessarily think that's the right way to go about it. Instead, I think what we have to realize, let me ask you this question. I know that there is a time in your life when you experience God doing something spectacular. I'm pretty confident that at least one time in your life you experienced God doing something special and you noticed it. You noticed it. And you went, wow, God is so good, or God is so great, or God did this wonderful thing, and you're telling. And you know what's interesting about that? You ever notice that around that moment, there's a bunch of, maybe we'll call them lesser moments. They're not lesser, but lesser shocking things that God is doing around that. And we could ask the question, does God work in groups? Is he like, okay, Ryan, I'm going to bless Ryan with 15 different moments where I'm going to show myself to him? Or is it simply the fact, and here's what I think it is it simply the fact that God did something, got our attention, and then we actually are just aware enough and observant enough to see God already acting in our lives? Let me make a definitive statement. God is acting in your life. You, maybe, are not aware and looking for it. I think that what the early church is experiencing at this point, and really through most of the book of Acts, is that they are simply eyes wide open, seeing what God is doing. Yes, they had absolutely a special point in their life. They were privileged to get to see the signs and wonders being done by the apostles. But God is still at work, even still today. Even if it's not with the same level of spectacular healings as maybe Peter does. Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. But God is still at work in the same powerful ways, and we can have that awe and wonder if we simply open our eyes to look. But there's more, and that's actually not even the point of what I wanted to get at. There's more. He goes on and he says, now all the believers were together and they had all things in common. All things in common. How much? All things. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. I'm going to read the next part because I think that it's important. We're going to come back to verse 45. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house, and they ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. Okay. Let's talk about just three ways that we can take this verse. Let's take it first from a prescriptive way. So we're part of what we call the non-denominational church movement. We're not really a part of the movement, but non-denominational churches, oftentimes we take the book of Acts and we say that what happens in the book of Acts is exactly how we're supposed to live. The things that they did are the things that we're supposed to do. There's a prescription that is happening, a detailed prescriptions of this, do this, do this, do this. But that's often, most of the time in the book of Acts, not what we're supposed to do. So we could look at this and we could go, this is a prescriptive conversation about what we're supposed to do. So what we're supposed to do is everybody in this room is supposed to sell everything that you have. Listen, you ready? Sell everything that you have and bring it to Max and I as elders of the church. And trust us entirely to do with that money, all of the money that's in this room, the will of God. I'm looking around, and there's not a single person in this room shaking your head, yes. Yeah, that's what we should do. But that's what they were doing. Literally, that's what they were doing. They were bringing it to Peter and James and John and the other apostles. And the apostles, they were the ones distributing the wealth. That's why they needed to bring on the seven. Because it was so much work that they were neglecting the Hellenist widows. But it's not prescriptive. God does not say, sell everything that you have and live in a community. In fact, if we continue to read, and we're going to read honestly as we go through the Bible, we recognize that the people in Jerusalem sort of did it wrong. Because later, Paul goes to the churches in Thessalonica, and he's like, hey, I had to collect money to take it to the churches in Jerusalem because they stopped working. The second way, the second wrong way, and that was the wrong way if you didn't catch that, the second wrong way is to take it only as description and to actually, like, because of context, get rid of all of the stuff, right? Because it's the early church. So imagine for a second that I could prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the world was going to end, let's say, September the 29th, like 6 weeks-ish away, right? Now, as a word of caution, I don't think this is what you're thinking, but the Bible is very clear. No one knows the time and the day. So if somebody says this is when Jesus is returning, we can say definitively they're wrong. The Bible tells us that they're wrong. Jesus says, I don't even know. So how could we? But just say, for the sake of argument, Jesus comes into this room, and we know that it's Jesus because we all see him, and he's like, just so you know, 6 weeks, I'm coming back, I'm going to collect all the people. There isn't anybody in this room, except for perhaps nurses and doctors and people who are taking care of other people, who are going to continue to work. If you work in a factory, you're not going to go to your factory job and continue building boats and stuff. You're going to stop. You're going to take everything that you have. It's going to be very easy to take everything that you have. You're going to look at your brothers and your sisters and go, I've been blessed. I have all this wealth. I'm going to sell all my stuff, and we're going to live together, and we're going to eat together. We're going to celebrate together. We're going to sing together. And we're going to do this. It's going to be wonderful. And there's probably very few people in this room who would go, I couldn't do that. If you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was coming back soon. Missy and I have been watching The Chosen. It's great, by the way. And there's a moment where I think Peter asks Jesus, you know, when is this all going to happen? And he's like, soon. And Jesus is like, that's a funny word, soon, isn't it? To my Father, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. What's soon? It's relative. It's relative for us. How much more relative is it for God? The early believers, they thought Jesus was coming back soon, so it's very easy. It's very easy to go, yeah, let's sell everything. But the problem over here is that we can, 2,000 years later, we can go, well, soon is all relative, and so therefore we should just amass our wealth. We shouldn't sell what we have and have all things in common. We should keep things separate. I think perhaps there's something in the middle, isn't there? As is often the case with doctrine and theology, there's something in the middle where perhaps we should look to around, we should look around and see each other and go, you know what? We do have all things in common. And if I need to hurt a little bit financially or physically because I'm going to go and help out one of you, I'm going to do something physical even though I'm not built for it or don't do it for a living. I'm going to give up some of my own comfort for all of you. This is one of the reasons why I love our discipleship hour and why I was so excited to see people really loving discipleship hour through the summer while I was gone. Not that you needed me here, but because that's what it means to actually have things together, to have all things in common, to be living in such a way where we don't look at each other as just people that we spend an hour with on Sunday, or two and a half if you come the whole day. But people that you look around and you go, these people aren't just, they're not just my family. There's something actually deeper. They're my church. Sold all their stuff. They had all things in common and all who had need. And they distributed all these things and they devoted themselves to meeting together. And so we were going to these various churches, right? And I think it was, so there was like the seventh Sunday. I didn't go anywhere the eighth Sunday. And then we went last Sunday, one more church. And it was the seventh Sunday where I finally realized what was missing. It's amazing to see God at work in these other churches. It was wonderful to celebrate the new building. It was wonderful to celebrate the baptisms of people that I had no idea who they were. It's wonderful to hear another church body pray for somebody in our congregation. It was awesome to see that God is at work, not just at Christ Church. Not that we were ever in doubt that God was at work everywhere else. But there was something tangibly missing as we went to all those different churches. As I went to those various churches, there was something tangibly different. And here's what it is. I know and I love your faces. I missed being with you. And to say something, perhaps out of a little bit of pride. Nobody sings like us. Ro-Ro said it, and I don't know if he was just blowing smoke, but I tell you what, you guys sing. And yes, we went to a couple of churches where they sang, but not like you. At least not to my heart. So last week, 2 weeks ago, the second to last week of the sabbatical, like the last kind of vacation was the ninth week. And I knew on vacation, I'm vacation Ryan, right? So last week, I'm really trying to wrap my head around what's going on. And that was that week where I was really starting to hear the Lord go, you want to worship with your church family. And a few people, some in my family, some in the Gerber family, asked me, are you ready to go back? And I gave a non-answer. I said, I'm getting there. In fact, somebody asked me on Tuesday while on vacation, 6 days before coming back, you ready to go back? I'm getting there. But if I was to give an honest answer, I would have said unequivocally, no, I'm not ready to go back. And I don't think I hit it very well. I don't hide my emotions very well. We'll just leave it at that. I woke up Wednesday on vacation. Norris was wonderful. It was probably one of the best boating vacations we've ever been on. And I love our boating vacations. It's wonderful. We had like the perfect spot. It's just Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's great. I woke up Wednesday, I think on the wrong state, not just on the wrong side of the bed. I was grouchy. I was grumpy. I was very withdrawn. I did stuff with the kids. I had fun. There was joy. But the whole day, there was just this constriction. I think that's the only way that I can describe it. Just this squeezing a little bit. And we did all the stuff. Gets to be nighttime, and everybody goes upstairs to go play some games. And we played games in the evenings when it was dark most every night, and I just couldn't go upstairs. And I just started to cry. And didn't know why. And so I went out on the porch downstairs, and I kind of stopped crying a little bit, but not really. It was just kind of a constant tears. And went out on the bottom patio, or the back patio, and everybody else was upstairs, and I just was listening to the Bible, and I was sitting listening to the loudest crickets I've ever heard in my whole entire life. And just kind of looking out, there's trees in the way, so it wasn't like I was looking out at the lake. And just, I just sat there, and I just slowly cried. Pretty soon Missy texts me, and she's like, "Hey, you coming up?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll come up in a minute." And kind of stopped crying and toughened up and went into the bathroom, wiped my face off, tried to pretend like I wasn't crying. Went upstairs, and we ate so many M&Ms all week. And so I beelined it right for the M&Ms, and I grabbed a handful of M&Ms, and all the Gerbers did the Gerber stuff and go, "Hey, Isaac, he's here, he's here." And I immediately started to cry again. And so I, without saying anything, just turned my back and walked right back downstairs. And I went down into our room, which Missy and I's room was downstairs. Missy came down, and she's like, what's going on? And at this point, I'm full sobbing. I have no idea why. And Missy's like, "What is happening? What is going on?" And I was like, I don't know. I cannot tell you why. I was like, "I want you to sit here and hold my hand and treat me like a baby. But I also want you to go upstairs and have fun on vacation with your family, because I don't want to be the reason why you don't get to have joy with your family. I want to go back to work, and I don't want to go back to work, and I want the presence of God, and I don't feel it." And she sat there for a little bit, and eventually I was like, just please, I will be fine, I promise. Not the first time I've cried in my life, and it won't be the last. And I am not ashamed to tell you, I am a crying person. I cry way too much. I cry at movies. If there's ever a movie that has a little girl that reminds me, even in the slightest of Elise, I'm crying. And so Missy went upstairs, and it was probably 8:30-ish, and I just laid on the bed and just 45 minutes, uncontrollably wept. I have no idea why. Eventually, I fell asleep. I woke up the next morning, and I had joy in my heart. And I said, I'm ready to go back. And I don't know if it's just that the Lord just needed to squeeze me and squeeze out those tears. So Sunday, last Sunday, we went to Parkside, Alistair Begg. If you've been coming here for any length of time, you know the joy, the affinity that I have for Parkside Church. We go there for our Basics Conference. It means a great deal to me. I would not be in ministry if it were not for the Basics Conference. I wouldn't be. Alistair Begg, huge part of me feeling a call to ministry. No question. So we go up to Parkside, and it was a wonderful service. Alistair was not there. Of the 8 churches, we went to specifically hear 5 different people, and only one of them was at the church that we went to the week that we went, which was fitting, and it was good. The message was wonderful. The music, as always, was wonderful. It filled my heart. It filled me with joy. And as we left, I looked at Missy, and I said, "Are you ready to go back?" And she went, I am so ready to worship with my church family again. And it's this right here. Is that I can look around this room, and at least for many of you, know the hurts and the struggles, the joys and the happinesses that are your life. And then we come back. And I get to pop a bunch of balloons. I'm still formulating my plan on how to retaliate. Yeah, retaliate, but to feel appreciation matters more than you could ever possibly know. To get to sing with you means more than you would ever possibly know. To get to play drums, even though I constantly am teasing, we need somebody else to please come drum because I'm not actually that good. You just have never heard anyone else, and so you think that I'm okay. To hear you sing, to hear you be in this place, to find joy and happiness with each other. And this is why it matters. Praising God, verse 47, and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. As Paul says in his letters, after a time of absence, he says that he thanks the Lord every time he prays for his churches. I thank you, Lord, for this church. For all of our bumps, all of our bruises, all of our scuffs and trials, I thank you and praise you for your presence in this place. That you, Lord, deserve everything, every credit, every praise, every glory, every adoration that we could give. You have been at work in this place since the very moment that we thought about it, and even before. That you have given each and every one of us the privilege to come into this place and to serve you through serving this church. That we can get to know each other. That we can have all things in common, even though there are times when we try to hold them back to ourselves and in our own strength and in our own ways. Try to get through it. Help me, Lord, help us to turn always to you first. To come always to your presence, always to your favor, always to your goodness and your work before we ever try to worry and tarry on our own. Before we throw the things overboard, before we try to calm the storm in our own strength, let's turn to the one who can truly speak and the storm be still. Father, we love and we honor and we praise you because you are so good. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify your name, Lord. Let everything that we do, let every breath that we have, sing praise to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's stand up to sing together. Part of the beauty of singing as a congregation is, we could go to a concert and be surrounded by people we don't know. And there's a beauty in raising our voices in any crowd. And there's a beauty in praising the Lord alone by ourselves. And yet there's something about praising the Lord with people you know and who you've walked through things with and whose kids you know and whose hurts you know and whose ups and downs you know. it's beautiful to sing this song about the goodness of God with people who you know have walked through or are walking through the valley and yet are still holding on to Jesus. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice.
You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have in the goodness of God.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness. Is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Let's bring in our Sunday schools for to get ready for our baptism here. Dear Lord, we are so thankful you are so good to us, and we thank you for your patience with our failings. We thank you for no matter how many times we mess it up, that you keep coming alongside us and you keep drawing us on closer to you. We thank you for all the ways that you show your goodness to us and that everything good that we have comes from you. We praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, Bailey's, come on down. Oh, this water is freezing. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, it is a special blessing to be celebrating baptisms. Baptism for us here at Christ Church is a special act of identifying ourselves with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus as we commit our lives to follow him. Which I am sometimes bad at getting these on time, but we have them on time. This week we have baptism Bibles for each of our young people being baptized. I got Elias's to him today from 3 weeks ago, so that was, you know, pretty good for Eva and that's Dee Dee's. And Dee Dee and Lila here, so we present those to you. But you don't want to get them wet, so maybe I'll set them on the front row for you. Honestly, yeah, but this is our gift to you to celebrate. Yeah, I've done this before, but not with the Bibles, honestly, I don't think. So how do you want to go, oldest to youngest? Youngest to oldest, what's the order? Okay, so we'll start with Dee Dee. Okay, middle, youngest, oldest. All right, so Dee Dee, I'll just have you repeat after me, okay, your confession of faith and say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God.
And I purpose to serve him with my life. You can go ahead. Step on up. Eva. Wait, no, then Lila. Okay, all right. I got our order here. Okay, go ahead and step right on over here. Okay, Lila. I believe. That Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
Son of the Living God.
And I purpose to serve him with my life.
And I purpose to serve him with my life.
Thank you.
Bo, don't lean on that.
All right. Eva, repeat after me. I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God.
I purpose to serve him with my life.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood.
We got announcements going here. Reminder, Mick and Courtney Merriman's adoption benefit is tonight, 5 to 8, here at the church. All are invited. I think there's a slide. There it is. All right. We have our next carry-in on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Main dish is provided. Please bring up a side or dessert to share. Also, pertaining to discipleship hour, the next two Sundays, there will be no discipleship hour. It'll start again on September 3rd, which will be Promotion Sunday. Children will move up to their next grade level in Sunday school classes, and there'll be a picnic at Sterling Park. Now, to get ready for that, there's a sign-up for Discipleship Hour. If you have not been partaking in it and you'd like to, there's a sign-up so they can get you on the list. Update on missions. We had an early meeting to discuss some things, get things rolling. We're getting things set up for Missions Month, which is going to be in October again. We're going to have several events here at the church, other locations as well, opportunities to serve, opportunities to learn. We want you all to be involved, so we'll get that out early. Hopefully by our next meeting we'll have the list of everything, calendar of events, so you guys can get it on your calendar. As you guys can see back there, we're halfway to our paper. That's awesome. We've got 2,000 things of paper, which is amazing. We set the bar high, so we're going for 2,000 more, and that's going to determine if we sit around one night and do nothing or if we actually have something to do. So, no, we'll set it appropriately. So, but, yeah, we set the ball high. So, anyhow, as you guys are out shopping, just keep that in mind. You guys have done amazing so far, but that's all we got. So have a blessed day. Oh, Max has something.
So I just want to reiterate and emphasize discipleship hour. It has been a blessing, guys. And if you have opportunity at all, I would encourage you to sign up. Also, this is the end of our first quarter, even though it's longer than a quarter. So we are looking at rearranging the groups a little bit, and we are looking for new leaders to help out. I know that there are a couple who have mentioned in the past that they would. Doesn't mean that the old leaders all have to immediately run out the door. We are going to still need, what is it, 8? And just encourage you all to come and share, because it is really, I haven't heard anybody say that what we've done on Sunday morning has not been a blessing. Secondarily, what I would like to do is just for a little bit, I don't know if, Dre, come here. Get up here, come on. I don't know if all of you know Dre or not. He has been with us for a few weeks. Appreciate him very much. If you don't know him, he is going to be coming back. He has promised once in a while. get to know him. He's moving to Michigan, so he's not going to be local anymore. So he will not be probably here every Sunday. Hopefully we can make it once a month. But if he doesn't, we can understand that too, because it's like a 3.5-hour trip one way. So it's tough. But I'd just like to pray with him. Heavenly Father, we come before you and stand in front of an amazing God. Lord, not that many weeks ago, you brought this young man into the lives of our church. You brought him through the door as a stranger. And Lord, he's leaving a beloved brother. And it's only through you and Jesus that this family continues to grow and continues to come to know one another and be blessed by one another. And it happens so often that we think we're doing a good deed and we end up receiving so much more than what we give. Lord, we just pray for Dre that as he goes to his school in Michigan and that you would be with him, that you would help him to find families there who love the Lord Jesus and who would welcome him and come to love him as much as those he's touched here. Just pray that you would walk with him and lead him each and every step of the way. And as often as he can return, we'd love to see him. And if he can't, we'll still love him always, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God loves you. I love you. Have a blessed week. Eat some cake.